Well, today is Halloween on a Sunday. And I was thinking this last week, growing up in church, I've heard and preached Christmas sermons and Thanksgiving sermons, Easter sermons, Mother's Day, Father's Day sermons, Memorial Day, Veterans Day sermons. But I have never heard nor preached a Halloween sermon before. And so today that's going to change. We're going to have a Halloween sermon today. Now, I'm going to actually say some really hard things. We're going to talk about some really difficult things and kind of some dark things today. So before I get into that, I want to give you a little bit of a disclaimer. I do not hate Halloween, okay? When I was growing up, my dad came from just a really horrible home life, household, as he was growing up, and his family did not celebrate any holidays. They didn't buy Christmas presents, they didn't go to church on Easter, they didn't have Thanksgiving dinner together, they didn't do any of that stuff. And so my dad, he was the oldest of all his siblings, and so they'd make their own little costumes, and they'd go trick-or-treating, and they'd get some candy. So that was really the only holiday he got. So when I was growing up, my dad loved Halloween, more than us kids did even. And at my house, we like to make costumes, and we have a cool little neighborhood where we go around and see all the neighbors and get candy. So I don't hate Halloween. But this Halloween, I got thinking, a friend shared with me something that he had read, so I had to look it up, and when I read this, I got really concerned and thought, you know what, it's time maybe to have a Halloween sermon. Maybe it's time to talk about some of these hard things. Now, here's what it was that I read that kind of kicked this off. It was actually on Elitch's website, you know, the big theme park Elitch's. This since then has been taken off their website, I just noticed this week. But they were going to have at Elitch's a witch fest up there. And here's what they talked about with they had a whole description of everything that was going on, but this was one of the things they said. The high temple priestess commingles light and dark in her teachings and cuts through limiting beliefs to ignite spiritual growth. That doesn't sound like a theme park, does it? This is actually still on their website right now. They're having their territories, is what they call them, and this is their description. These terrifying areas are filled with fiendish killers, ghouls, clowns, and demons who permeate the dark at night. Now, that got me a little concerned. And so I thought, you know what? There's some things that we need to talk about. And so today we're going to look at one verse in Scripture. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And this is actually a verse that we talked about when we talked about the armor of God. And we just read through it. And I thought, you know what? Today, being Halloween, is a good opportunity to talk about this one verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour." Satan is working every day of the year. I hope you know that, and that passage is true every day of the year. But today I thought it was a really good time to talk about it, because I was thinking about this website. I was looking at Elitch's, and their big theme was family-friendly by day and terror by night, or something like that. And I got thinking, there's very few times that we see this childhood innocence and demonic imagery so closely related as we do around Halloween time. And so I thought today was a great opportunity for us to talk about being on guard, not being fooled, being ready, having our eyes open, being on guard against the work of the enemy in the seemingly innocent things from day to day. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I think we are always more in danger of downplaying the work of Satan than we are of over-dramatizing it. I think so often we're in danger of just saying, oh yeah, I kind of know about Satan or know about the devil. And so a lot of times I think we just kind of put him to the side, and we forget about him, and we downplay the danger that's there. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we come today, I just ask that our eyes would be opened. I ask that we'd be able to see what is going on around us, the spiritual battle that's being waged every day at all times. And so today I ask that we take a moment, that you would open up our eyes, that we would be aware and alert and be sober-minded, that we'd be able to talk about these things and understand what your word has to say and then understand how we should live in the midst of it. And so just give us that clarity, give us that wisdom today as we look into these things. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the instruction and the encouragement that you give us, that we're not just out here floundering, that you have shown us through your perfect word how we should live and what it looks like to live in this world. So just let us be attentive to that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this passage begins with a warning. It says, be sober-minded and alert. And it's not just a warning, that's a command. That's a command from Scripture. Be sober-minded and be alert. Be watchful. Be on guard. Keep the lookout. Now, this is an important way to begin today. This does not mean to live in fear. When we talk about being on guard or being on the lookout, being sober-minded, it doesn't mean living in fear or anxiety. I really enjoy driving. A lot of times I will just take off and go for a drive. And I like even more riding motorcycles. And back when I had one, I would just take off and go for a motorcycle ride. And I love it. It's peaceful. It brings me joy. It gives me time to think. However, while I do that, I am on guard. And I am watchful. And I am sober-minded because of the other drivers that are out there and the dangers along the road. And so as I do those things, I'm very aware. And I've got my eyes open, and I'm looking around, and I'm careful, while at the same time being at peace and joyful. You see, I don't take off on a motorcycle ride or drive out in my car with great fear and anxiety, but I am watchful. That's the idea here. We are meant to enjoy life, but keep a sober mind and be watchful as you do it. Those two aren't opposites. We don't have to live life with fear and anxiety in order to be watchful and to be on guard as we go about our lives. And so the command is to be watchful, be alert, be sober-minded. But what are we looking out for? What's the danger that we're looking out for? Well, the enemy. The verse goes on to say, your adversary, the devil. Be alert, be sober-minded, because your adversary, the devil, is out there. So who's Satan? Who's the devil? This is where I think we get in danger. I think sometimes we think of, when we say those words, Satan or the devil, I think sometimes we're in danger of thinking we're just kind of personifying the idea of evil. Does that make sense? That, hey, there's evil out there, and we just want to give that evil a name. And so we call that evil Satan or the devil. And that's a big mistake, and here's why. Because Satan is a being. It's not just the idea that we're given a name to. Satan is a being. The devil is a being. And the first thing that we need to know about this being is that he is a demon. Now, what's a demon, you ask? 2 Peter. Let me show you in 2 Peter chapter 2. As the explanation of where this evil, these evil demons come from. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Says, for God didn't spare the angels who sinned, but cast them into hell and delivered them in chains of utter darkness to be kept for judgment. That's who the demons are. They're the angels, they're those spiritual beings who rebelled against God, and because of that they were cast out, and that's who the demons are. We're also told in Jude, verse 6, Jude only has one chapter, in Jude verse 6 it says, and the angels who did not keep their own position but abandoned their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains in darkness for the judgment on the great day. And so that's the first thing we need to understand about this enemy, is it's not just a general idea of evil. He is a being, a spiritual being, and he is a demon. But not just any demon, not just any ordinary demon. I want you to look in your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. Because Jesus gives us a great explanation. He makes it really clear. In Matthew chapter 12, it's a story you probably know. Jesus is going around healing people, and he's also casting out demons as he goes along. And so in Matthew chapter 12, beginning of verse 22, it says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and unable to speak was brought to Jesus. He healed him so that the man could both speak and see. All the crowds were astounded and said, could this be the Son of David, the Messiah we're looking for? When the Pharisees heard this, they said, this man drives out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Now, who in the world is Beelzebub, the ruler of demons? Well, Jesus says, knowing their thoughts, he told them, every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Who is Beelzebub, the prince of demons? Satan. That's who they're talking about. Jesus makes it really clear. So where does that come from? We use those words Satan or the devil. Satan comes from the Hebrew, and what that word means is an adversary or an opponent. Okay? And then the devil is a Greek word, and it also means adversary, but it also means accuser, one who accuses. You can picture why that's part of his name, right? And so Satan's whole goal, when we wrap those things up, the accuser, the opponent, the adversary, his whole goal is to oppose the work of God. That's his mission. He is the adversary. He opposes the work of God. Anything that God wants to accomplish, he wants to destroy. Plain and simple. Anything God wants to accomplish, he wants to destroy. And here's something really important to remember. Anything God loves, Satan hates. And that includes me and you. Because we know from Scripture God loves us, right? No doubt. And anything that God loves, Satan hates. And so that puts us right in that place. And because of these things, he's not only the author of temptation, but also persecution and suffering. So that's his mission. That's what he wants to do. So how does he accomplish it? How does he accomplish this mission? If we go back to 1 Peter, it says, be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, we talked about him. Now what's he doing? He's prowling around like a roaring lion. He's prowling around. Satan does his work in two ways. Number one, he prowls, and number two, he roars. The primary tactic of Satan, 90% of the time, is deception. He most often prowls around. He's hidden in the shadows. And I love this imagery because I don't know if you've ever seen a lion or any of the big cats hunt, but it's incredible how this gigantic, dangerous beast can go completely undetected. It's amazing. He prowls. And Satan does that same thing. If you look in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, says, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no great surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will be according to their works. He most often disguises himself, not only is he prowling around hidden, but what he does is he disguises himself as something good. My goodness, how many examples can we think of today as the enemy disguising himself as something good? And so that's the way, that 90% of the time, that's the way he works. He's behind the scenes. He goes unnoticed until it's time to pounce. So he prowls around. But if that doesn't work, he roars. If that doesn't work, he roars. Now, with lions and tigers, I believe mountain lions, several of the big cats, if they're detected by their prey, then they will begin to roar. And they will roar so loud in the face of their prey that it actually paralyzes them. You can see, look it up, it's kind of interesting. But they will actually roar and slowly walk up on their prey as they're roaring, and that prey will be so terrified they won't move. And so that's the way the enemy works. I have a little sound clip for you to demonstrate this, if Naomi wants to play that. If Satan can't sneak up on you, then he will get up right in your face. He'll throw so much at you that you're overwhelmed, that you're scared, that you're paralyzed. Now, he doesn't like to be that obvious about things. He likes to sneak around. But when push comes to shove, he'll get right up in your face and roar to accomplish what it is that he wants to accomplish. Essentially, Satan will use whatever tactics he can to oppose the work of God in our lives. Whatever he can employ. That's what he will do to oppose what it is that God's doing in our lives. So what's the danger? Be sober-minded, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion. And what is he doing? He's looking for anybody he can devour. Now, when we talk about anybody he can devour, the first thing we need to look at is what it is that our enemy wants to do with unbelievers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "In their case, the God of this age," small g, God of this age, that's the prince of darkness, the demons that we were talking about. "In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." If God's desire, we know from Scripture that he desires not one would be lost, right? What does God want? So much that he gave his one and only son. He wants us to be saved. And so if that's God's deepest desire, guess what the enemy's biggest mission is? To blind the unbelievers and get them sent to hell. Now here's what that's interesting, because brothers and sisters, we need to be alert and aware to see how the enemy is working in the unbelievers around us. So far as I've been preaching this whole message, be honest, how many of you have just been thinking about your own life and how to be aware from the enemy? One of the first things we need to do is be aware of the unbelievers around us and how the enemy is working in their lives, because we'll talk about it here in a minute. The enemy can do a lot of damage, but he can't take away my inheritance. However, they don't have that. They don't have that security in Christ. And so we need to be alert. We need to be aware of how he's working in the lives of the unbelievers around us. Our desire should be first to fight against him for them, first and foremost. It's not just about me and what he's doing in my life. So that's where we need to go first. However, there is a danger for us as well in this fight. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, this is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. He says, "So we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again." He said, "I wanted to come see you guys, but Satan hindered us." Satan desires to stop any work that God is currently doing in your life. Whatever it is that God's accomplishing in your life right now, however you're growing and getting closer to him, maturing in your faith, guess what? Satan hates that. And he wants to destroy it. He wants to stand in the way. He wants to stop it. Now, if he hindered the Apostle Paul in his mission, then we probably need to be paying attention, right? We probably need to be looking out for him as well. So remember this, brothers and sisters. Satan can never take away our salvation, but he can make our life miserable if we're not sober-minded and alert every day. Whew, okay, take a breath. That was pretty intense. It's all pretty serious stuff. And in some ways, if we keep our eyes off Christ for just a minute, it's pretty scary stuff. So I want to end with some good encouragement today. First of all, we know who wins and we know who loses, brothers and sisters. The fight's already done. We know who wins, we know who loses. Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So he's done. He's beat. Okay? Number two. God continues to guard us through all of this. None of this is just on your shoulders. I always talk about context. The book of 1 Peter begins, 1 Peter 1:5. This is what he says at the introduction of his book. "You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." You're being guarded. God is looking out for you. He's looking over you. And so understand in this context where Peter first started, before he got talking about all this devil stuff, he reminded the people first and foremost, God's standing guard. God's standing guard over you. And finally, while we're talking about context, we read 1 Peter 5:8. I want you to look at the very next verse. It says, "Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world." Are we in this fight alone? Are you the only one he's attacking? No, in fact, we can't do this fight alone. We can't fight this by ourselves. We need to watch out for each other. We need to watch each other's back in all of this. We need to encourage one another when we're depressed. My goodness, the enemy likes to use depression, doesn't he? And guess what? We need to encourage each other when that happens. We need to strengthen each other when we are weak, when you're just done, when you're at the end of your rope. How many of you have been at that place? Oh man, I've heard some amazing stories in these last few weeks. How many of you have been that place where you are done, where all your strength is absolutely gone, and all it took was a brother and sister in Christ to come and speak words of strength to you? See, we don't do this alone. This fight that you're in, brothers and sisters are in this fight all over the world and right here in this church. So be sober-minded and be alert, not just for ourselves, but for one another. Here's what I want to close with today. This is my final word to you. Look out for the unbelievers. Look out for one another. And look forward to the day of reckoning. When it comes to dealing with our enemy, look out for the unbelievers. Look after one another. And look forward to the day of reckoning. Amen. Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for victory. We thank you that in the midst of this, we know that you are standing guard over us. We know that no matter how much our enemy prowls or pounces or roars, there is nothing in all creation, in heaven or on earth, that could ever take away our inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. That is a firm foundation that we stand on today. It has been accomplished in Jesus. It is not something we've done on our own. And because it's been accomplished by Jesus, it can never be taken away from. And so, Father, I thank you for that and that great strength. Father, I ask that each and every one of us here today would enjoy our lives, that we would walk out this door excited to be who it is that you've called us to be, excited to be light in the world, excited to count the many blessings that you've given each one of us. And Father, I ask in that great excitement and joy in life that we would be watchful, that we would be sober-minded, that we would be alert every single day, because we know the enemy's there. Not just the general idea of evil. We know that Satan and the demons are always working to thwart your plan. But we thank you that they have no power over you. And so, Father, I ask that we be alert and we be aware. I ask that we would look to the men and women around us who have never put their faith in Christ. Father, they don't have that seal. They don't have that security. They don't have that inheritance yet. And, Father, we should have a deep burden to thwart the enemy's work in their lives. And so, Father, give us that desire. Let us be alert and watchful for our neighbors and friends and coworkers out there. And then, Father, we want to have each other's back. Lord, as we look for what the enemy is doing, let us first and foremost lift each other up in prayer. Father, if I'm praying for me, that's one person. If the church is praying for me, that's powerful. Let us always remember that, Father, to pray for one another, to look out for one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. And finally, Father, we praise you and we glorify you that this enemy that has caused so much pain and suffering in our lives and in our world will be cast into the eternal fire. That there will come a day where there is no more pain and no more suffering, no more tears. There will come a day where the enemy is gone forever. Father, we praise you for that great victory and that great truth. Let us live in that strength and that power today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.